Mikey Dare?
Rick, am I coming in now?
Yeah, a bit bad.
Okay. So Steve, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you now.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm not too sure what's wrong with my phone today, but I think we're better connected. So I did hear the part where you mentioned about the robot and what that does, using facial recognition and a couple other features you mentioned. So I understand the gist of it. Now, do you have a working proof of the robot? I mean, can we look at it? And is that going to be connected to the application, more importantly?
We're in the process of building it. I have the engineers working on that, and we're downloading the images through the optical system, and then they're taking those images and then making a engineering the replication of the robot, and that seems to be working.
Okay.
Right now we only have 2,000 of the 6,500 images uploaded into that system, but I thought I'd start working on the app now because that'll be the next logical direction that we want to go.
Okay, so let me try and understand this. So the robot you have right now, which I understand is in progress, you're still working on it, is that going to be connected to the application in some way? I mean, is the robot going to recognize the submissions on the application? You know, let's say someone submits an HP Elite a device, and is the robot going to detect it and categorize it, or do you want to replicate that within the application?
No, we would take and keep this completely separate, and the app would have nothing to do with the robot. The robot would have nothing to do with the app, other than we would be loading the same information into both.
Okay, that makes sense. And
we could use all the imagery, all the information off of the robot, and put that into the app. And then we would just keep them separate after that.
Okay. Now, coming to the application, right? Now, I understand that, the robot feeds the information to the app, right? And there could be many different ways to do it. We just have to work with your engineers to, kind of create that bridge in layman terms between the two. But after the information has been submitted into the application, what happens from there? I mean, does that information go out to your suppliers?
Yes. So we've got... 6 buyers right now, but we would have, up to 10 buyers that buy from different suppliers all across the country. And what they would do is they would give them access to that app through a username and a password. And they would actually maintain and be able to see what their supplier is using on the app and how they're categorizing. And then they could take and have those conversations and price that material accordingly with their customer, or their customer or supplier could fill out a purchase order based on the amount of material they have and send that into the buyer, and they'd be able to manage our purchasing system with that.
Okay, so as I understand it, there are 2 kinds of users in the application, right? One is your suppliers that you said is about in fact, there's buyers and then there's suppliers, right? And buyers, you said, are probably about 6 or 10, and they are going to be contacting suppliers all over the USA, and the suppliers have to be on the application as well, right?
Correct. And we'd like to track the suppliers by username, passwords, and IP address so we can see what they're doing on the app.
Okay, yeah, that's doable, right? So, and then the app has to be for both the Android and the iOS, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, between the buyer and the supplier, is there going to be some kind of forms they fill out? I mean, you mentioned about a purchase order, but, apart from that, is there going to be other documents that they need to exchange? Or what kind of a communication they're going to have between them?
Well, You know, so you've got different tiers. Like some of our suppliers are sophisticated companies where they have 200 employees that are taking apart computers, where the manager would have access to the pricing and the team leads that are separating and sorting the material would have access just to what category the material goes into. And then the manager could actually fill out the purchase order with, well, we have 40,000 pounds of material ready. Here's all the different categories that we have and the weights. And they could fill that out, and then the buyer would intercept that and then hedge the material. And what I mean by hedging the material is, as soon as we know what is coming to our facility, we actually sell those precious metals ahead of time and then unwind that position as we sell it to the refiners.
Okay. Well, I'm not too sure if I
But
understand the
that, I
last
mean, that
part.
doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, you. I mean, you don't need to just be a purchase order with the weights of each category that they have.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. So, are you familiar with the logistics industry, by the way? I'd like to give you a reference from that. I mean, we've worked on something similar, and this is probably, that's probably where it's going, right? So if you talk about the logistics industry, let's say, you talk about J.B. Hunt, or you talk about one of the larger companies, logistics enterprises in the USA. They have more like a load board where they upload their requirements, right? In your case, your buyers may be uploading, or your suppliers may be uploading their loads that they have. Let's call them loads for now, right? I mean, we could call that anything in the future,
Okay.
but just to give it a name. So they upload their load. They tell us, the supplier tells us we have, 35 tons of, a recycled or spare phones, mobile phone devices that we'd like to sell. Now they upload that to the load board on the app, and the buyers on the application, they would be able to enter into a negotiation with the supplier. Now that could be through submitting a form of their bid. I mean, I don't know how this works honestly, but submitting like a bid to the supplier for the 35 tons of material that's available, and then maybe there is a pickup location, maybe there's some kind of a form that each buyer that's interested in buying that load, they fill out and they submit like a bid to the supplier. Am I in the right direction or am I missing something?
Yeah, yes, you are, because we do, because we could tie that in, and especially if you already have some similar framework, we could tie that into our logistics and be able to like, okay, here's what we have, but we want to give them the information ahead of time. So we're not bidding on the material. We're actually like showing them like, hey, this is what your mobile phone is worth because there's 4 ounces a ton in a smartphone of gold. This is what we're willing to pay you today. So if you want to do that, you submit that into the board with the weight you have, and then we agree on it, sign the PO, and then we set the truck up for you and buy the material.
Okay, and all
So you
that
kind of,
transaction happens on the application, right? Okay. And you were saying something, could you go ahead?
So if I'm like any part of a computer, so like if I'm a dismantler or a recycler, instead of like right now, we get the pictures and we bid and we talk to them, we tell them what it is. This actually, they have the pictures, they have the categories of their own material, and they know what we're going to pay before they even upload it to the board.
Right, that makes sense. I mean, I think what you'd have to provide us
Yeah.
to, kind of build the application is going to be, the most important thing is going to be the form or just how you want to, whether they upload the categories, they upload the pictures, how they upload the weight, whether how they bifurcate it within different categories. That could come later. I mean, but I understand the requirement where, they will have more like a form, that's going to be interactive so they can fill out. The information of the material that's available, including uploading pictures or probably even, uploading an Excel file. Some of them may work through an Excel file, right? So they might want to upload an Excel file or like a CSV document, and that stays on the load board for buyers to bid on it, right? Now, that's going to your role within this application, unlike the conventional process that you're following right now, is just going to be as an administrator to keep an oversight and make sure it's all on the track, right?
Right, right.
Okay. So I think we're looking at three, I think what you're expecting from us is more like a ballpark right now. So just to crunch that down for you, I'd have to, quantify a couple of details. So I think we're looking at three different interfaces. One is going to be for you. That's the admin, ideally a web admin panel that you can use to manage the users on the application, onboard, future suppliers. In the future, you want to onboard someone as a supplier or as a buyer, you would be able to do that from the admin panel as well. And then on top of that, you would have your own access to all the negotiation that's going on or the load board. And, when you click on a load board, you'd be able to see how many buyers have contacted this particular supplier and what kind of, information they've sent over, right? Now, apart from that, the supplier is going to have, their own, login interface, of course. I think you will be the one who's going to be signing them up on the application the first time. So, more like you as the admin sign them up, and that sends them a username and a password, more like an email, with their own unique username and password that they can use to come back to the application and log in. Are we in the right direction so far?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct,
now,
yep.
Now, next, when the login, I'm just trying to paint a canvas in your head, right? So tell me, when I go astray so, we can backtrack on it. So after the login has been completed,
yep.
The supplier sees more like a load board where, now should the suppliers be able to see the other suppliers' information as well, or do you want to restrict that to the buyers?
Just restrict that to the buyers.
Okay. So the supplier will have, they will be able to enter, create a new, call that, create a new submission. We can term that anything in the future once again. So create a new submission, and then on that they have more like a three-page form or a four-step form that they can fill out with the pictures, with the weight, with the quantity, with the, details of the material that's available, and that's going to be posted on the buyer's side of the interface when they submit this, this submission. Now, on the buyer's side will be their own login as well. That's going to be their own interface. Now, when you enter the buyer's login as a buyer, you see a load board of different submissions from different suppliers with their names, more like a category of where they fall. I mean, whether it's a mobile phone scrap or it's a computer device scrap, it's a computer peripheral scrap. All that's going to be, different categories we'd have to set up from the back end as well that you, of course, would be able to, manage and edit and add to in the future as well through your own admin dashboard. But otherwise, the idea is they see a list of, supplier submissions, and they'd have more like a call-to-action button where they can, go ahead and they can submit their side of the form, the buyer's form, and they can submit more like a request or more like a bid where they can enter their price, they can enter their, a pickup, destination or drop-off location or however that works. And once the supplier sees that, the supplier, if they want to contact back the buyer, they can send, they can enable more like a PO, a purchase order, for the buyer. Is it good so far?
Right. Yep. That makes total sense.
Right. I do still feel like, there may be a bit of a negotiation. I mean, how do you want to tackle that? Is there going to be a simple messaging system between the buyer and the supplier? Or because there may be a lot of communication that may be beyond the forms that the suppliers and the buyers set up, like a PO and, the initial bid form. Do you want to have like a messaging system in the application as well for the regular negotiation?
On the form where I think that would be good. I think that would be good to do.
Right. So on the buyer side, the buyer will have like two options, right? Either they can go ahead and fill, the supplier's bid form. So, supplier will have to post like a bid form that's in there. You know, the buyer will be able to download that from their side of the interface and be able to read in the application when they filled out the information. And along with that, as an alternative, they'd have an option to, you know, start messaging the buyer, you know, the supplier that they're interested in purchasing the load from, right? So that way they'd have like two modes of communication, one that's guided, one that's, you know, based upon a form that has, you know, guided fields that they can fill out, and the other one where, you know, if they want to communicate with their supplier, they want to negotiate, they want to, you know, get additional details, like, you know, whether, you know, let's say the supplier has not mentioned, you know, whether what sort of devices are they, or whether you know, the supplier may have missed the weight of something, they can get an informal communication through the messaging system as well.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. The biggest thing is to identify. You know, I like where you're going with everything, especially, you know, with the purchase order and the load and the option to bid on, you know, over the basic pricing. And the other side of it is for our suppliers to be able to identify all those different circuit boards and what category they belong into, or the peripherals. You know, what category and what's the baseline pricing on all that material. So I think that would help.
Right. Now that's something I need to understand better, because I don't know what kind of weights are we talking about, what kind of, you know, what does an essential load look like. But I've worked in the scrap industry for a while, so, you know, I kind of understand that, you know, there's a scrap of, you know, say 35 tons once again, right? Some of that could be peripheral devices, for example. Others could be mobile phones. A third category could be, you know, computer hardware. Like motherboards and, you know, circuits and, you know, whatnot. And so these are essential categories that you would have to identify. Am I coming in, Steve?
Yep. No, you're right on. You're right on pace here. So.
Okay, perfect. So you as the admin manage those categories, right? I mean, you just have to set them up on the back end. The first few, we of course set them up for you when we develop the application. But after that, if you want to add more categories to it, you could do that, but I think the suppliers would be, I think you're talking about suppliers that are educated about what they're trying to sell, and they can, you know, select the right category from a list of drop-down. Is that correct?
On the peripherals, like power supplies or hard drives or memory sticks or mice or keyboards, yes, that's the easy part. But when you get into the motherboards, and the server boards and the finger cards and the processors, there's so many different integrated values based on the year, make, and model of that board. That's where the 6,500 images come in, where we need to identify that through our system. So if they take a picture of a phone and it's an Apple mobile phone, well, that has 4 ounces a ton in it, and that's going to be priced at this price. If they take a picture of a BlackBerry, that has 18 ounces a ton of gold in it, and that's going to be at this price. Does that make sense?
Wow, okay. Right. So how do you suggest that, you know, that identification works? I mean, right now I understand that you're building a, you know, a robot to do it, but, you know, the only way I can think of it is, you know, the robot has to be integrated to the application in some way as well, you know, so, you know, the facial recognition can actually work on the application as well. I mean, except that, do you see any other way?
That's correct. No, we just need to use the same technology that we're using with the robot to identify and use that facial recognition to identify that category and price of that material.
Okay. Now, in that case, I mean, we'd have to look at the robot as well. I mean, whether if you guys have any kind of proof of work, I mean, what technology is that built on? We'd have to get in communication with your engineering team, of course, pre-development, and then, you know, when we get to the development phase as well, because they're the ones who are going to, you know, kind of set up a bridge between the application and the robot. But otherwise, I mean, as long as it's a plug-and-play kind of, you know, robot that we could use within the application as well without any changes, then there's not a lot of work we're looking at, but, you know, mm-hmm. we'd have to look at what kind of technology has been used to build that, you know, existing program that needs to be, you know, integrated to the application as well.
Sure, and that's understandable. And we, We own all the technology and we've patented it, so we're fine with all that from the engineers. So
that is perfect. So do you guys have an NDA in place? I mean, Rick, did you guys sign an NDA?
Yes, we did.
Okay. So I think the first steps from here would be to look at the, you know, the robot software. I mean, as long as we have the NDA in place, you know, it's going to be protected, of course. And then according to that, we can, well, you know, sorry.
Well, I'd more like to set it up as a plug-and-play and kind of get an estimation of what you're thinking to build it before we move forward on that. Because of the technology is so unique in what we're doing. Does that work for you?
Yeah, that works. I mean, of course, we'd keep some, you know, difference in there. I mean, there, you know, after we look at it, we'd be able to better identify, but I can at least give you a ballpark on what the application itself would cost you, considering that, you know, the robot is a plug and play, and we wouldn't have to do a lot of legwork to make that integration possible.
That'd be great. Yeah, but I like what you're doing with the, I like, you know, we know we've got the identification and the categories down, and we know we've got the plug and play on the intrinsic value of the material, and then setting up the load board and being able to interact with the suppliers is would be a big deal. So.
Okay. Right, that makes sense. I mean, as long as we're clear on how the application is going to work, I mean, I think the integration itself, we could leave that to the point where we get access to it and when you guys are comfortable sharing it. Apart from that, I think we're looking at about, you know, given that it's three interfaces and it's going to be for both Android and iOS, it's going to be one native application for Android and another native application for iOS. We're looking at somewhere about $45,000 and $50,000. For both the applications. And if you ask me about the timeline, we're looking at somewhere about, you know, about 5 or 6 months, 6 months, say, you know, should be a safe timeline to complete something like this and get it, you know, live deployed on the app stores as well. Now, with that kind of quotation, we're covering everything from discovery to, you know, the UI and the UX design for both the you know, the kinds of applications, the Android and the iOS, and then, you know, fully developing the application and, you know, deploying it on the app stores for you as well. So it's going to be publicly available and ready to download, you know, within this cost and within this timeline.
Okay. Well, that seems less expensive than I was expecting.
Okay, well, that's a good news. So, okay, that's a good quote, you say, right? I mean, that's reasonable, doable, right?
Okay. All right, perfect. Well, so I don't know if Rick's still on the call. Can you guys just send me an email back recapping
this?
Yes,
I'm here.
And I can take a look at it? Okay, great. Can you send me a recap on what we discussed?
Sure.
You know, put that into context, and we can kind of.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I'll just, you know, have the entire, you know, call of, you know, the MOM. And we'll share that with you so you have everything in written as well, what we discussed. And then you can get back to us as soon as you're ready to move forward. Or we'll follow up on that.
Yeah, because what I'd like to do is I'd like to take this information and bring it to my buyers and say, okay, what are we missing? What else would we need? Or does this look good? You know, I get more than one set of eyes on it, basically.
Like kind of up, you know, the professional proposal or documentation for the entire application, how would it work from the start point to the end point, correct?
I think a better way to go from here would be, you know, we send the call, you know, more like a bullet point, a call minutes of the meeting to you, Steve. You look at it with your team, with your suppliers.
Yeah.
With your suppliers. How soon do you think, you know, what kind of time do you think they take to get back to you? And, you know, when can we, you know, recircle on this after we sent you the email?
I'd say by the middle of next week, we'd be ready to talk again. You know, maybe before Thanksgiving, maybe Wednesday the 23rd.
Okay, yeah, that sounds perfect. So yeah, we'll keep it to the last week of this month. And, you know, by that time, you know, hopefully things are on track and, you know, you guys are still, positive about the idea and the whole concept that we built on today briefly. What we'll do from, you know, after that next discussion is we'll send you more like a scope of work document that's going to, you know, fine-tune every, you know, feature to its bone, right? So we'll send you more detailed, you know, scope of work once we have a green light from you that you've spoken to your suppliers, you've spoken to your buying team, and they're happy with the application and how that's, you know, built on together. And once you give me that, you know, green signal, we'll go ahead and, you know, start working on the SOW, which is actually the, you know, the kind of the second last step before we get to the final price and before we get to, you know, the pre-onboarding procedure whereby we send you the contract and everything. So that's how, you know, I'm just trying to give you an idea on how the onboarding looks like. And from there, like you understand, it's going to be discovery, design, development, and deployment once we get to the execution.
Sure. No, that makes sense. Okay. Perfect.
Right,
no, that sounds great.
Perfect. So I hope we were helpful today in any case. And, you know, we'll definitely send you the email sometime later today, hopefully before the end of the day. And then let's recircle on this next week now.
All right. Sounds great, guys. Thank you for taking the time. Look forward to it.
Not a problem. Take care of yourself.
All right.
Thank you as well. I'll let you go, Steve.
Bye.
All right. Enjoy the day. Bye.
All right. Bye.